Well, good evening and Merry Christmas. I'm Pastor Kirby. I am one of the pastors here at Living Hope Church. How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that one, the most likely reason of all, may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But, whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Who's. Staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now, hanging a mistletoe wreath. "And they're hanging their stockings," he snarled with a sneer. "Tomorrow is Christmas, it's practically here." Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming, "I must find a way to stop Christmas from coming. For tomorrow," he knew, "and all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys, and then, oh the noise, 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 noise. That's one thing he hated, the noise, 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 noise. Then the Who's, young and old, would sit down to a feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, 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 feast. They would feast on Who pudding and rare Who roast beast, which was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, who stand close together with Christmas bells ringing, they'd stand hand in hand and the Who's would start singing. They'd sing and they'd sing and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas song, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 43 years I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how? Then he got an idea, an awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. You know, many of us know exactly what that wonderful, awful idea is. And we've maybe heard the story a thousand times. We've sung that song, "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," and we know a lot of it. And to give you the ideas, so the Grinch dresses up as Santa Claus, right? He dresses up his little dog Max as a reindeer. And they go into Whoville with the intent of stealing Christmas. They take the gifts, they take the wreaths, they take the feasts and all of the stuff. And then he takes the tree. And the little girl says, "Santa Claus, why are you taking our tree?" And the Grinch did what any Grinch would do, and he lied. And he said, "Well, little girl, there's a light out on this side of the tree, so I've got to take it back to my shop and fix it, and I'll bring it right back here." So he takes a sleigh full of stuff to the top of Mount Crumpet and looks down and is excited. He's looking forward to the Who's waking up in the morning and seeing that Christmas is gone. And he's just looking forward to that and listening to them cry, boo-hoo. The Grinch is hard to love, isn't he? Like, well, some of us. Some of us think the Grinch is pretty awesome. But, I mean, he stole Christmas. And I think we all know someone who doesn't like Christmas. Maybe we don't know somebody who doesn't like Christmas, but we might know someone who's just kind of grinchy, right? And they have that thing about them that makes it a little hard to love. But a little history on the Grinch. It was first written by Dr. Seuss in 1957. And then in 1966, they came out with the animated cartoon that we've seen over the holidays on TV for years and years and years. And then in 2000, there was that one live-action one with Jim Carrey that you either loved or you hated. And then this last year, they came out with a really wonderful version, I think, that was wonderful. But with all of these variations of the Grinch, it got me to thinking about the Grinches in our lives and the Grinches in our world. And I got to thinking that you don't have to be green to be a Grinch. Like there's part of Grinches that just kind of state it, right? And there's some Grinches who don't know their Grinches, and there's some Grinches who celebrate their Grinchiness, right? This time of year they just do, and we don't know it. But there's some Grinches who are specialty Grinches. There's all sorts of them this type of season. And what I want to tell you right off the bat, that if you're getting a likening or an ilking that I'm talking about you today, that's just not true. So whatever we talk about tonight, don't think I'm talking about you, all right? It just happens. But there's all sorts of Grinches that steal our joy around the Christmas season. And the first one is just that classic Grinch. The Grinch hates Christmas. We don't even know the full reasons why. And I don't even know if he hated Christmas, but he hated, I think, the culmination of everything Christmas represents, and it's just that gathering of the year of joy and happiness, right? He hated happiness and joy and wanted to take that away. And so he didn't really necessarily hate Christmas per se. Instead, he hates what Christmas represents, right? People like this, they've kind of kept the bottle of milk of human kindness with the lid on it. It's just kind of curdled in their lives, right? And it just doesn't, there's no joy and there's no happiness. Author Robert Lind made this observation about Christmas. There are some people who want to throw their arms around you simply because it's Christmas. There are other people who want to strangle you simply because it's Christmas. See, a Grinch just hates Christmas. And I don't know if there's anyone in here that kind of falls into this category, but if there were, what I'd say to you is this: let's start to enjoy life. Because frankly, none of us get out of it alive, and it goes way too quick. Solomon said this in Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. See, but again, not every Grinch is a classic Grinch. They're specialty Grinches. And the first one would be, we're going to name it the secular Grinch. And you can recognize this Grinch because they will not, they refuse to wish you Merry Christmas. It's Happy Holidays. It's Season's Greetings, whatever. They don't put up a Christmas tree. They put up a holiday tree. It's all of these things. And they're not opposed to Christmas. They actually like everything about Christmas. I think what they don't like is what the church says Christmas represents, and that's Jesus. And so they want the gifts, they want the holiday break, they want this, but it's not really wanting Christmas, it's what Christmas is recognized for, right? So that's what it is. And here's the deal, though. If you wish me happy holidays, you wish me happy Hanukkah, you wish me Merry Christmas, I don't care. Because really the heart of it at the end of the day is the season brings about joy and peace and hope and love. And what it reminds me of is that peace is so fleeting and so difficult to hold on to because we as people can't even agree or allow people to be joyful. Because we argue over season's greetings, Merry Christmas, or Happy Holidays. But Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That's why my peace doesn't come because of a Grinch. It doesn't come across because Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. It doesn't happen even because of the color of a coffee cup. My happiness and my peace comes from the Prince of Peace who leads us in that every single day. The other side of the coin, there's those religious Grinches. Y'all knew who I'm talking about. They'd go to the other extreme and remove anything secular that didn't have to do with the church out of Christmas completely. If they had their say, Santa would have to get a real job, the elves would all be fired, and the reindeer would be put in a zoo, right? Anything not having to do with the Christian idea of Christmas, they would want removed. Now, hear me out. I understand that this season, we celebrate Jesus coming into this world for the salvation. I get this. But hang on to your chairs, because there's another reason for this calendar season. There's more than one. And the first reason, I think there's social reasons. In this room alone, you see family and friends that you haven't gotten together with for a long time. And it gives us this opportunity to get together and to reconnect and share life together. And I don't think we'd say that's bad. Another reason is simply the economics. I mean, the millions of dollars people spend not only on gifts, but on travel, on decorations. Who doesn't like a strong economy, right? And I don't think at any point would the economy hold up. I can guarantee you, I am not going to spend this much money around the clock as I do on Christmas. Amen? I love my kids, but, right? There's that reality. There is that. And another reason is that at this season, people are becoming more God aware. Can I say that? They're becoming more religiously minded. Now, that's not the same as Jesus. Let me be clear on that. It's not the same as Jesus. Millions and millions of people will celebrate Christmas Eve this year. And it's not necessarily out of an obligation about a deep faith that somebody has in Jesus, but it might be out of a faith tradition or a family tradition that that's what we do. But what happens is this season, our senses and our mindsets are raised and awareness is raised to who Jesus is. And that's not all bad. But a stimulated economy isn't bad. It was Eleanor Roosevelt who said this: "People say that Christmas is too commercialized, but I have never found it that way. If you spend money to give people joy, you are not being commercial. It is only when you feel obligated to do something about Christmas that the spirit is ruined." See, regardless of what happens, regardless if you think one thing or the other, God is in all of those things. It's in the spirit of why we do it. God is in it all. And the Old Testament reminds us that in everything, God is there and God is going to work it for the good. It says this in Genesis 50, verse 20. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And that was Joseph, who, if you've read his story, is quite tragic. And let me ask you this. Why do we limit Jesus to just one season of the year? Another of the Grinch is the pious Grinch. The pious Grinch. These people would do away with Christmas altogether, just in its entirety. They wipe it out because what they say is that Christmas, a lot of the Christmas traditions have their foundings not in Christianity, but rather they'd have their foundings in other things, and in we should have no part of it. Since they have a lot of roots in the pagan culture, we should have no root of it. Now, it's true. A lot of what we celebrate and what we understand within the Christmas season has those roots. And they'll tell us that the date of Christmas wasn't actually December 25th. Shocker, right? We know that, and they wouldn't do it. But what it was is the pagan celebration in Rome would celebrate this point in the year where you'd have the end of the shortest daytime and the longest night, and it'd start to shift to the springtime where you could have harvest, longer days, and so they'd have this time of celebration. The Grinches would tell you that everything in pagan culture, in the Romans and the Egyptians and the Celts, would take the evergreen and they'd use it to celebrate eternal life. But as Christians, what we're going to do, we're going to think back about a year 1513 when Martin Luther was walking through a forest and he looks up at the sky at nighttime, and he looks through the trees and he sees the stars. And he says, "It looks like the trees are lit with candles." And so he brings a small fir tree into his house and he put lighted candles on the tree. And we're going to remember that. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul addressed the issue of meat that had been sacrificed to idols. People were bringing complaints about what should we do with the meat that was sacrificed to idols. And he offered this in 1 Corinthians 8:4. "So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one." And I guess that's my thought. We can dwell on the fact that December 25th was not the birthday of Jesus, and we can focus on that, or we can focus on what it represents now. And it is the coming Messiah coming to save the world. And then lastly, there's the apathetic Grinches. It's not really they don't like Christmas. It's really that idea that they could really just care less. Like, they don't get caught up in the hubbub. They don't get caught up in all the hoopla. They're there, right? And usually you'll find in their wives are bringing them along, right? But they're the apathetic Grinches who don't really give a whole bunch of excitement to it. And I don't know which one you fall into, but what is the answer? The answer is that Joseph and Mary made a long road trip to the hometown of Joseph to give birth to Jesus. And on that first Christmas, there was a star, and there were some shepherds, and there were songs, and there was exchanging of gifts. And we know that Jesus probably wasn't born on December 25th. And we know that many Christmases have been abused, both the past and the present. We know all of this, but I don't think it's wrong to celebrate the birth of Jesus, regardless of the day, regardless of the ornaments that we use or the decorations. He came to offer us the greatest gift of salvation and forgiveness and hope through his Son. And it started as a manger in Bethlehem. So now when we left the Grinch, he was on the mountain looking down. He was on the mountaintop looking down, waiting to hear the Whos cry boo-hoo. "That's a noise," grinned the Grinch, "that I simply must hear." So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, and then it seemed to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry. Very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or another, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, that's the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with the load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feasts, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast.